This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 40, The Condemned. The Condemned, this is a fighting chance at life. Survivor meets Battle Royale, meets The Running Man, meets The Hunger Games.
Right. Well, we should preface this by saying this is one of the movies we picked up at 2Q Video. And we did our last, well, not our last podcast, but a few episodes ago, and we talked about it came from the bargain bin, and The Condemned was one of our selections. It was actually your selection, right, Chris?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Starring Stone Cold Steve Austin, the ever-glowering Stone Cold Steve Austin, the former...
The man of mono expression.
Yeah, the former WWE heavyweight champion, superstar, and of course, Vinnie Jones. And so we picked this one up based upon the combined star wattage of those two. And
which is a small asteroid in the far reaches of the galaxy, not so much star.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know if which cosmos we're talking about, but anyhow. We got this for what, about $3, $4?
$3? Huh? Yeah. In the bargain bin?
We can either say we got our money's worth or we got ripped off, depending upon your perspective. Yeah. I guess we a bit of both, really.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of both. So, The Condemned. I guess, as you're saying, this is definitely a ripoff of far superior films. I mean, you got your Running Man, you got your Battle Royale, which is something...
Those are the two top...
An egregious ripoff of, and of course, The Hunger Games ended up ripping off those movies down the road. This actually ripped off Battle Royale before The Hunger Games, but...
It was ahead of the game when it came to ripoffs. So,
ripoffs, yeah. Speaking of ripoffs, I mean, it's funny because this movie reminds me of. It's funny because it's not in the same sort of genre. I mean, they're both action films. But there's something very like Bruno Mattei-esque about it. It reminds me a lot of like Strike Commando, which we talked about in an earlier podcast. You know, starring the incomparable Reb Brown and the immortal battle between
Mike Ransom and Jakota, fearsome Russian adversary.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Was it the shitty camera work? Was it the jungle setting?
Little from column A, little from column B.
Exactly.
The camera work was decidedly shaky in here. As you said, as we mentioned at some point, it's like a snow globe being shaken. It's like every single fight scene. It was like past the Dramamine. It was hard to watch.
Exactly. Every single fight scene required, like, it was as if the cameraman had, the director of photography had an epileptic fit. I mean, it was honestly like the camera was shaking, like, you know. And I guess this was done for dramatic effect, but I mean, the only effect it did was made me feel physically ill.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mentioned to you, like, you know, when we were, you know, when they were shooting Enter the Dragon, did they feel the need to, like, you know, shake the camera up and down, you know, during some of those kick-ass fight scenes? You know, definitely not, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's one debit against this movie. And there are other debits. There's also some credits, too. But before we get a little bit more...
The negative column is getting pretty filled up.
Exactly. But before we get more in-depth into The Condemned, before we condemn The Condemned, let's say, what is The Condemned about, Chris?
Yeah, well, it's The Running Man. So we've got a sleazy television producer who is putting together a show that's to be live streamed on the interwebs, of course, and they scour the globe looking for some of the most badass prisoners who are on death row.
Who
are condemned, hence the title, and they particularly want to get every demographic. So at one point, they're worried that a certain part of the world's geography is not recommended or not to represent it. So,
well, no,
the producer says, "Get me a fucking Arab."
Right, and before that, he goes something along the lines of, "Fucking Guatemala? I already got a fucking Mexican. Yeah. I want a fucking Arab." You know? So, I mean, we're in sort of politically incorrect territory.
Yeah, very exploitative. And we know the producer is a bad guy.
because he's an entrepreneur, so he's a capitalist, and he smokes. So we know this guy's up to no good, even before he started this TV show, sleazemongering television.
Well, this,
internet TV show.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's funny because at the beginning of the movie, they kind of go around to these different prisons and they, you know, like
talent scouting.
Talent scouting, yeah. and they try to script the baddest of the asses, if that's, you know, if you could say that. And they, you know, they kind of, you know, they go, like, it starts off in Belarus, right?
Yeah, and in Belarus, I guess they get the, you mentioned he's an Australian actor. I'd never heard of him, but he used to be in the WWE.
Yeah, he was in, this is Nathan Jones. He's he was an Aussie wrestler, huge man. I mean,
he's
got to
be like 6'6 or 6'7.
But,
yeah.
I mean, he was in the WWE for about literally a cup of coffee. I mean, he was in there for about... he was a big star in his native homeland of Australia, but I mean, zero charisma,
and zero dialogue too. He said not one word. He was meant to be Belarusian or Estonian. or something from Northern Europe or something. So, and he was he's selected by talent scouts for his ability to beat down four guys in this Belarusian prison. So, and quite rudely, too. Like, he takes one guy out with a knee to the face and throws him into the wall, just completely annihilates these four guys. So he's picked. And, we've got a couple Mexicans. This is sort of the United Nations of death row inmates, which is weird, too, because some of the countries they got these guys from don't have the death penalty. So I guess they didn't really sort of explain that away, or maybe these guys were just European nationals who happened to be in a Chinese prison where they got them from.
Well, there was that American prisoner...
Creston. Yeah, so he's a brother, he's got dreads.
Yeah, and he was in some sort of like Malaysian prison for taking the rap against, for like 14 kilograms of hash. And I mean...
And of course, he's American, so therefore... he was in prison because of trumped up charges.
Right.
Whereas all the other guys, and we'll get to him soon, Vinnie Jones is in this, and he's in prison for being a rapist and a guy who set ablaze
and a guy who basically committed genocide. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, we have these 10 prisoners, these 10
stereotypes.
Condemned men.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, they have to, draw a sort of line in the sand over, like, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, right? Who are the ones that are really evil, that really committed crimes and are deserving of punishment, and who are the ones we're going to root for? Yeah. But what's really funny is, as you mentioned before, this is the UN, and, but everybody they select is so, like, stereotypically named. Like, we got the German prisoner.
Helmut,
right?
and he yells, like, Scheiße, Arschloch.
Whatever, the 8 words of German that I know, he yelled out. Yeah, I think he even said Farfenugan at one point, right? Then we have the Italian, the hot-headed Italian
Dominico,
you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't exactly very... he was the first to get killed, actually.
That was quite surprising. Of course, so they talent scouts get these 10 cliched ethnic stereotypes and fling them out of helicopters
into this
island, which they film. It's, as we said, it's part Survivor.
There's like 200 cameras all over this island, and no one knows where it is. In the middle of nowhere, this jungle territory.
And now, of course, of these 10 guys, as we said at the beginning, there's a fighting chance at life. So one of these 10 prisoners gets a chance to get a stay of execution, get prize money, and to walk free.
First of all, before we get too ahead of ourselves, let's talk about the death of Dominique. So, they're throwing them out of the helicopter, and, most of them are being thrown into water. Our hero, Stone Cold, gets thrown down a mountain. He does, the 8-time roll. But what happens to Dominique? He gets thrown on this...
A spike fence.
I
don't know where they got a fence in the middle of the... It's the middle of an island. Is that a stake?
It was a stake of some sort. He was impaled. But anyway.
He's impaled.
But getting back to the stereotypical names, I mean, we have your Japanese name, Saiga.
Yeah.
And we got your... there were two Mexicans. They were... I mean, you said, I already have a fucking Mexican. There were actually two Mexicans. They were a couple.
His and her married murdering duo, Rosa and Paco.
and we have from the UK representing Vinnie Jones, representing the UK, Ewan, a la Ewan McGregor. And of course, from the good old US of A, this is now Stone Cold. One name is more American than Jack.
Yeah.
Good old Jack, right? So, so this is our motley bunch, right? Our motley crew. And so you mentioned that. the whole conceit of this game is that if they, and we got to mention too, they're also fitted with like collars and anklets and so on. And this
yeah,
is
the and so they can't just they're thrown onto this island, so they can't just sit around and you know, let the time pass because,
or you know, get a nice suntan or something, yeah, or you know, take a swim.
They've got
30 hours.
Yeah, they've got a countdown on their anklet, bracelet, monitoring, tracking, bomb bracelets, anklets, and if they don't move, then they are blown up.
Right.
So they're basically forced and compelled to kill one another, and last man standing, again, gets the money and gets their freedom. And this is the conceit, but again, who...
On whose authority?
On whose authority,
So basically, the whole thing is that after 30 hours, one person has to be left standing. If that person's left standing, again, very Battle Royale, very Hunger Games, he or she, there was another woman we didn't mention.
Yeah, there's a woman from Ghana.
But anyway,
will
gain their freedom. Now, again, on whose fucking authority? The sleazy television producer? Yeah. Like, who's he to say, oh yeah, you're a condemned inmate on death row, I grant you your freedom, sir. Like,
And at one point, I guess when he's busting that Aussie wrestler out of the Belarusian joint, he's giving him this like a belt, like a money clip belt full of thousands of dollars. So under the assumption you can bribe the occasional warden.
Well, yeah, give the warden the money.
You can bribe, let's say maybe one or two, but he's managed to bribe 10 different wardens from all over the world who are just basically willing to compromise their principles to let free a guy, in most cases, multiple murders without any sort of legal recourse or,
You know, so we first meet our hero, and this is Jack, played by Mr.
Cold.
Austin. And, again, I mean, he's the American, the Amerikanski, right?
Yeah.
Well, although in this case, he's called the Americano, the gringo, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I mean, the guy has got to have some sort of backstory. Like, he's got, because he's a hero,
he's
right?
He's the hero,
so
yeah.
There's no way that he's a mass murderer or that he's a rapist or that he's this or that, right? And, of course, I mean, you know, like I've watched one or two movies before, so I know, you know, and
any prison break movie has a protagonist who's had charges that were trumped up against them. Every single one, because you can't, whether it's The Rock, that's another example of a guy who, you know.
The Rock, the wrestler, or the movie?
No,
the
movie, The Rock. There's a guy who's got the trumped up charges, right?
Nicolas Cage
and whatnot. So it's always the guy, because you can't possibly root for a violent offender or a rapist or a murderer. So again, the backstory, he's got.
Right, there's Con Air, I think.
Oh, Con Air, yeah. And so he's got an attractive wife and kids.
I just wanted to go home
and
give my teddy bear to my baby. Yeah. That shit. But anyway,
He's got, you know, Stone Cold's got an attractive wife back home, and she, for all she knows, she doesn't know what happened to him. So
just upped and disappeared one day.
Yeah, but it turns out he was in the U.S. Secret Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been Steven Seagal in this role, because he's always a special Secret Service Black Ops.
Always but goes back to Seagal.
Yeah,
why,
he does.
But.
And so you know that he was serving his country. So not only was he innocent of all charges, but he's out there, you know, serving.
Well,
the
he basically,
flag,
yeah, I mean,
red,
he,
white, and blue.
Yeah, I mean, under the guise of being, you know, in this clandestine operation, he was arrested. And
they just threw him in an El Salvadoran jail
to rot,
mm-hmm. and, you know, brought up these charges that were spurious, and there you go.
So anyway, it's interesting though, because I mean, you know, before they throw them out of these helicopters, you know, the guys were setting the rules to these contestants.
Yeah.
Half of them don't speak a lick of English, right? And they're just kind of standing there going, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's just saying the rules in English.
I guess there's not too much to grasp when you have an anklet that's counting down in red. Some number from 30 minutes down or whatever it is, 30 hours, I guess, 30 hours down, and then they know something's going to happen,
right.
So they all look fairly scared.
Now, we should mention that this movie has not one but two cameos by two separate Joe Rogans.
Yes. Yeah, the producer, the executive producer of this sleaze fest, I think his name is Gray, he looks like a young Joe Rogan from, like, News Radio, and then his senior producer / tech guy, one of his line producers, he looks like the sort of more corpulent, fatter, more bloated Joe Rogan
hair
today.
Hair-plugged Joe Rogan. Yeah, exactly.
Fear Factor
and whatnot.
Yeah, and Fear Factor.
Yeah.
So it all comes together of bad reality programming.
Right. So as this contest goes on, I mean, alliances are formed, you know, mm-hmm. sympathies are created amongst, yeah. you know. It quickly becomes apparent that the ones that are the most evil, the most vile, is Vinnie Jones as Yuen,
yeah.
who forms an alliance with the Japanese prisoners, Saiga.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're sadistic. I mean, they're going after everybody. And, of course, at one point, Stone Cold... he befriends
the Mexican guy. Yeah.
I was going to say the gringo, but Stone Cold's a gringo. He befriends Paco, uh-huh. and Rosa was... I mean, you're throwing two women on an island with eight men, condemned...
Some of whom are rapists and murderers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously...
Who greenlit this project?
You know, honestly, like, this is...
And under whose auspices, under whose laws are you able to film a death contest? Because clearly this is not in international waters where you could have said, oh, there's no laws applied. These are some islands mm-hmm. near somewhere. Mm-hmm. If it's not near Australia, near South America, I forget where it was, but some laws apply. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't just go into the jungle and film people dying.
Well, it should be mentioned that, I mean, the FBI, I mean, they get wind of this and
yes,
they start
and then they
to,
try and stop it, yeah.
To a certain extent, yeah. yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know... Paco's wife gets used and abused, I hate to say. I mean, yeah. that's really bad. But then Stone Cold, you know, it has this sort of like heart-to-heart, and Paco's like, you know, hey, essay.
Yeah.
You know, essay. please avenge my wife. And, you know, Stone Cold, who, by the way, I mean, and, you know, like we were also discussing, like, again, like The Rock versus Stone Cold, and yeah. why one became a movie superstar and the other one just kind
he's
of
relegated to shit like this. Yeah.
B-movie, you know, straight to video piece of shit. It's because The Rock is charismatic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, The Rock is... He can play a lot of roles. Stone Cold, I mean, he's a physically imposing presence, you know? He's a badass, but he's very one-note.
Yeah.
He's just snarling, growling, or as you said, he's got the 5-yard stare, right?
Yeah. Five-mile stare,
five
or whatever
mile
that
stare,
is. Yeah.
yeah. And
the Mexican stare down, and that's all he does. He growls, and he bleeds. I guess it should be said, because given his wrestling pedigree, as we saw in Firestorm with Howie Long, where Howie Long is an ex-football player, so he had to, of course, use football moves in his movie. In this one, there's, I believe, well, we got a flying elbow and a...
Suplex.
A suplex.
Yeah.
And
armbar.
Yeah. Lots of wrestling
scissors.
Moves. Yep. And why would you suplex anyone? Especially in a, like, it's not an effective maneuver. Well, maybe a belly to belly is, because that's basically like a German suplex,
okay,
where
yeah.
you drop someone on your belly. That's basically Greco-Roman wrestling, but not the suplex where you lift the guy up by the neck and then fling them backward. That does not hurt at all. But he does this to someone in the jungle,
yep.
and it should come as no surprise that people die according to their. I guess according to their likability and relatability. So mm-hmm. the worst of the worst are left standing
right.
along with the hero. So
right.
Vinnie Jones, obviously he's a rapist. He set a Rwandan village ablaze. He's a British Special Forces agent. He's from North London. He's more comprehensible in this movie than he's been in several I've seen. But still, he's from Watford. He says eyes like oys. Like, you know, look me in the eyes.
Yeah, or and, when he talks to... Paco Barroso, that's a fit bird you got there.
Yeah.
They got to get the
yeah.
lines,
yeah.
you know. It's just...
Surprisingly, there's no references to soccer. It seems like it written into Vinnie Jones' contract.
Mm-hmm.
In three movies now I've seen with him, he's either been watching a soccer match or listening to one on the radio. But here, there's no reference mm-hmm. to soccer. So that's pretty good. He's a, you know?
Yeah, so anyway, so of course, I mean, as I said before, I mean, he forms an alliance with this Japanese dude, and like,
yeah.
they're just sadistic. I mean,
and the Japanese dude, of course, he's stoic,
uh-huh.
Quiet, deferential,
acrobatic,
and does martial arts because
yeah.
he's Japanese. So
there you
each villain according to the national stereotype.
Yeah. and they're just bloody sadistic. I mean, it's not enough for them to you know, just to kill. I mean, they got to, like, you know, really beat the crap. So at one point, you know, the poor Paco keeps going back to Paco. I mean, he's lost Rosa, and he's lying there just sort of waiting to die, and Stone Cold already went off and said, you know,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was personal.
Yeah.
And he's beset upon by these two, you know, contestants, the Brit and the Japanese one.
Yeah.
And they're just destroying
him. They're wailing
him.
On him, yeah.
And the people in the control room are watching this, and...
Yeah, and for now, for some reason, even though they've greenlit the project,
right.
they've signed contracts to be part of the TV crew to film this debacle. Now they start having their second thoughts.
Now they start to get a bit of a crisis of conscience. You know, like
people have been. It's a There's been attempted rapes. There's been people blown up. There's been people shivved. There's been people impaled on fence posts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now they're starting to have second thoughts. Yeah, you know, so maybe I don't want to be associated with this project.
Well, and then the person was like, you knew what you're getting into. He's like, well, I knew we'd go far, but not this,
this far.
Like, what did you expect, man? Like, this is a fight to the death. You know what I mean? Where one death row inmate, murderer, rapist, whatever, is going to go free. I didn't think it would go this far.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a monster. I mean, you know.
I still have my standards.
Exactly, you know. Can we talk about us being complicit in this as well, like the viewer being condemned?
I guess that there's also sort of a Barbara Walters-esque character,
mm-hmm.
and not surprisingly, the production, this show's production, has drawn quite a bit of negative media attention,
mm-hmm.
and so this Barbara Walters is grilling Gray, the executive producer, about, you know, aren't you basically doing a snuff film? And he's justifying it, saying, listen, this is human nature, this is no different from CNN for some reason. I don't know how he explains that away.
Yeah, well, he goes, people want violence, I'm just giving them violence, et cetera.
And she does this sort of like a Jerry Springer
final thoughts. Yeah, she looks into the camera.
She said, "I'm most disappointed, not so much with this producer,
but with you as a viewer,
it's almost like a Kent Brockman from The Simpsons, you know, where she's lambasted the viewer and says, it's almost as if you are all condemned to be watching this. So again, bad movie, action movie tradition. You say the title of the film in the dialogue. And she could have said complicit. That would have been the word I would have used if I'd been the scriptwriter.
I would have said the same thing. Yeah,
but no, we're condemned.
We're condemned. Also, we have the cliche of the machine gun. Oh,
we gotta say during the course of their the fights and the combatants going after one another during the countdown. Various weaponry is being lowered to them by helicopter.
A lot of the Hunger Games.
Yeah, a lot of the Hunger Games. Yeah. And so they're dropped. And naturally, this is a terrible action film, so they're given, you know, crossbows,
mm-hmm.
or whatever the other type of bow is. The one
crystal?
For hunting. Yeah. And
crystal on the crossbow? I don't know.
And they're given knives. They're given provisions. They're given...
Yeah.
They're given food. Yeah. They're given guns at one point.
Well, Vinnie Jones being the favorite of the producers because he's the one that's the most... to be honest, he was complicit with the producer.
Yes.
We won't say too much about that. We don't want to spoil too much. But, at one point he's given...
he's given firearms. And, the cliche you mentioned is every action movie... when someone's shot at with machine guns, dust gets kicked up when they shoot them at their feet.
Yeah.
And then the
person's still cold running away. Yeah.
And as the person's running away, the person never adjusts their scope or their aim and sees that, oh shit, I keep hitting them near the ankle. Maybe I should just raise my...
an inch.
Compensate, you know, the scope and just take them out.
And meanwhile, the guy's just running away happily at their business. It doesn't matter, you know,
they don't even run in
zigzag
orthogonally or anything. They're straight and then right on their feet.
I mean, you would think just some shrapnel from the ground would at least, you know, slow them down somewhat, but no, you know?
But anyway. The other great cliche is... when the two adversaries face off, and in this case, the British Special Forces man and the American Black Service Ops man, they meet, and he says, Vinnie Jones says, we have something in common, me and you. We have something in common. And then the good guy says, you know, we have nothing in common. I'm nothing like you, or some variant thereof. There's always some, you know, the two of us aren't that much, you know.
Different.
You know? So he's trying to... just ridiculous.
Okay, yep. And then, I mean, so as we get near the end of this movie, at one point it does appear as if Ewan is the sole survivor.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to the audience, although, like, when I say the audience, I mean us watching, although, come on.
The credulous 2% of people who didn't see this coming.
With 30 minutes left of the movie, like, Stone Cold's out of the picture. I don't think so. But anyway, it appears as if Vinnie Jones is the winner, and he's granted his freedom by this, you know, nebulous producer. Forget about, you know, the CIA.
Legal jurisdiction,
You know, what is the equivalent of the CIA in England? Interpol, or I don't know what...
I don't know, British Secret Service.
But Vinny's not happy with just getting his freedom. He wants some moolah. He wants some money, right? Yeah. So, and then something happens, and he just goes apeshit, and he starts to the strains of very contemporary music,
Firestarter by Prodigy.
I'm the Firestarter.
I am the fire starter.
I'm the fire starter. So, now, okay, this is 2007. Now,
to be fair,
okay, so
to be fair, this executive producer, in addition to being a snuff film sleazebag, he stiffed his tech guys.
Mm-hmm.
He stiffed his underlings, his producers, so they're not getting the millions they were promised. And not surprisingly, he stiffs Vinnie Jones for his money. And he just says, you know, get me a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Get me the hell out of here. Because the FBI and the various, army personnel has found out about this secretive, clandestine death.
Which is watched by people in bars, you know, with their siblings and their Heinekens and whatnot. But anyway.
Yeah, so he knows that he's got to get out, when the going's good. And he stiffs Vinnie Jones. But of course, Jack is still alive. And
but I was going to say, but before we get to that, I mean, using the song Firestarter in 2007 is already a cliche amongst itself, right, when somebody's going apeshit. But anyway, he goes apeshit, and he's basically, gunning everybody down in the control room.
In the control room, yeah.
And but then, hey, guess who's back?
Yeah, Jack's back,
right? So,
So, yeah, let's just say that without spoiling it, that the executive producer doesn't find getting out of there is that easy because Jack is still on his tail.
Yeah, he doesn't find his pod gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. to underscore how shitty this movie is, it ends with a Nickelback song.
Yeah.
And again, as Canadians, we apologize. We're very proud of a lot of our exports. We have Neil Young.
Yeah.
Wonderful,
Broken social scene.
Sure, go on.
You name it. Joni Mitchell, the Guess Who.
But then we got your Celine.
You got your Drakes, your everybody. Yeah.
Okay, but then we got that, Celine, Avril Lavigne. But the worst of the worst is Nickelback. So as soon as I heard the opening, riff, it was, show me what it's like. And basically, you hear that concentrated singing of the program. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this movie was, again, did we get our money's worth or did we get ripped off? Well,
speaking of $3, so we've got our scale of 1 to 5, mm-hmm. One being a must miss and 5 being a must see. What would you give The Condemned?
Well, I mean, it's funny because this is a long movie. It's close to 2 hours, and about an hour and 20 minutes in, I think we were kind of bored. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're like, this is really sort of. I mean, I was saying
really,
like,
really mundane.
I'd rather watch Strike Commando 9 times over than this piece of shit. But it did pick up near the end.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a little too late. It was a little too cliched. There wasn't enough badassery for me. I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. In fact, that's even a little generous. I'm not even... 2 to 2.5. Lean more towards 2.
I'll give it a 2 as well. So what did we learn?
Well, I learned that Jack hails from Fuck Your Mama.
Oh, yeah.
That was the
scouting producers are trying to get a little background so they can put their bios up on the website, mm-hmm. so everyone's got someone to root for. And he asks Stone Cold, so what's your occupation, before you were arrested? And he says, interior decorator.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, where are you from?
I'm from Alaska.
Just outside of Anchorage.
You might have heard of it. It's called Fuck Your Mama. That was a good line.
And so this sleazy producer makes up a bio and says that Stone Cold is in the KKK and bombed a church and various other things.
What did you learn?
Oh, I learned that despite this being a snuff film that's illegal everywhere and the IP address could have been subpoenaed, mm-hmm. And they could have arrested all these people promptly, still you're
found
able...
The sponsor?
They still found sponsors to advertise
cheap
for this.
Cheap auto parts.
Yeah. So it should be said also, because the conceit is that they're putting on this snuff film production, and predominantly they are charging $50 a head by credit card to get people to watch all over the globe, but they also have advertisers. So lest you thought the standards of television sunk, had sunk as low as they were going to go, nope, we got a few notches below that with The Condemned. Yeah, so we felt condemned to have been sitting through this, but we're masochists. We love our Vinnie Jones and we love our Stone Colds. Mm-hmm. And again, we mentioned earlier, we want to track down the film that features both Seagal and Stone Cold. And that's going to be one we definitely will talk about on a future podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
although I think I may need to lay off
Vinnie Jones?
Yeah, Vinnie Jones, for a little while.
Look me in the eyes and tell me. And yeah, and of course, for more reviews and fantastic giveaways, check out our site, www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.